Be a six-month study on the names of Jesus as they appear in the Scriptures chronologically. I've always believed that the more we lift up the Savior, the more precious He is to us. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And you know, the Bible says, consider Him. Amen? Always consider Him, there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. And the Bible says that He is precious, so Lord willing, this will make Him more precious as we understand Him from His names. Now, we're not looking so much at titles, but actual names of Jesus. We'll look at about 85 of them in the Scriptures. And again, we're going to look at them as they appear chronologically. So after Genesis, we're actually going to jump to Job. Why would that be? Anybody? Right, Job's the oldest book, and so the events in Job happened prior to the rest of the law given to Moses many years after Job. But the first name of Jesus is in Genesis 49, of all places. This is when Jacob is about to die, and he is blessing his children. Jacob had another name. Anybody know what that was? Yeah? I kind of heard whispering. Israel. Anybody ever heard that name before? Yeah. He was renamed Israel, had the 12 sons. And here in Genesis 49, he, with God's help, is blessing each of his sons about their future. And in the course of those blessings, he tells us about someone who will come in the future. And of course, it's about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll be studying His names, about 85 of them, over the next 6 months. Brother Jim, if you could read that verse for us, and we'll pray and get started. So the first name, if we look at them chronologically, is the name Shiloh. Anybody ever heard that name before? Four people? Shiloh, this Hebrew word only appears once in the Old Testament. And it's this name of Jesus Christ. To the best of my understanding, it means peace bringer in the Hebrew. Someone who will bring peace. Which is interesting, since we still don't have peace, but we will, amen, when He brings it, when He comes to set up His kingdom. So let's pray and we'll start studying the names of our Savior. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your word. And Lord, just how beautiful it is, how perfect, and how it reveals the character of our God and our Savior. And I pray as we study the names of our wonderful Savior, it would just, Lord, encourage us to love Him more and serve Him more and to appreciate Him more, and Lord, to better understand His character and better understand, Lord, how important it is that we tell others. So use this study in our hearts to grow us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, this title, name is Peace Bringer, this name Shiloh, single occurrence, which doesn't happen very often in the Hebrew. So when will this all happen? Well, let's go to Isaiah 2:2 and we'll understand that there will come a day when He will bring peace. And so that's how we know this is talking about Jesus, because we know He is the one that will one day bring peace to this world. Isaiah 2:2. Howard, if you could read that for us.
It shall come to pass in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it.
So remember, it's in the last days. A mountain often in Scripture is representative of a kingdom, as we know from Daniel's dreams and prophecies. And so this is Jesus' mountain, and it will, notice it says, it'll be the top of the mountains. It'll be the highest kingdom ever. We read about this kingdom again where Daniel had the image and then the rock comes down out of heaven and destroys all the other kingdoms, and it says it fills the whole earth. And we know from Isaiah 9:6 that one of Christ's names is the Prince of Peace. Amen? And if you study the kingdom, we won't do that now, but if you study the kingdom, it will be a time of peace. We saw this when we went through the book of Isaiah together, especially the last few chapters of Isaiah. But during this kingdom, all nations, as we see here, shall flow into it. And all people will be blessed by Shiloh, the peace bringer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring peace on earth. Remember when the prophecy was given when Christ was circumcised. It said, and also when at his birth, it said, it's even in the Christmas story, peace on earth, goodwill to men. He will bring peace. So that is the first chronological name of Jesus Christ in the scriptures, the name Shiloh. Thoughts or questions about this name? A stand alone. Yes, sir.
Also the name of the location where the tabernacle is set?
Well, the word only occurs this one time in the Bible, but is there a place called Shiloh?
Yes, sir.
In the Bible?
Yeah,
or is it in on the map? Yeah, I know, but is it in the Bible? I don't think it's in the Bible again. I know it's not, because I looked it up. It only occurs this one time, but I think that, well, look it up, James, just to make sure I didn't miss something. But yeah, there is a place called Shiloh, but I think they got it from this verse. Yes. So this is Israel waiting for the king, waiting for the peace bringer. What a blessing.
32 occurrences in the Old Testament.
Okay, well, then this Hebrew word is a unique Hebrew word. I know that for a fact. So can you look up the Hebrew word? Does yours have the Hebrew? Your search? Yeah. Because sometimes you can have two Hebrew words translated the same English word. That's the only occurrence. Okay. Scared me there. Okay. This is the only occurrence of this Hebrew word in the Old Testament. There is another Hebrew word translated Shiloh, but it's not this same Hebrew word. This is it. Okay, we're going to move on. Job 19. And verse 25. Job, in the midst of his intense suffering, was given by God a beautiful prophecy that still stands today and still hasn't been completely fulfilled. But it's one of the most beautiful Old Testament prophecies here in Job 19, 25 and 26. So Brent, could you read those for us?
For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Now, it's not capitalized, but we're going to see where it is in other places. But Job has to be referring to Jesus, amen? Because it says he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Well, that's Jesus Christ coming to the earth, standing on the earth. We read about it at the Mount of Olives in Zechariah, setting up his kingdom. And Redeemer is one of the names of Jesus. Now, it's also one of the offices of Jehovah. So look at Isaiah 48:17, and we'll see this. Now the word redeem, what does it mean? Anybody? Yes, brother.
To buy back.
Yes, that's exactly what it means. Here in Isaiah 48:17, thus saith the Lord, all caps, that's Jehovah, thy redeemer. So there it is, capitalized. So Redeemer is one of the names of Jehovah. But as we see, it's also one of the names of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah 59 while you're in Isaiah, verse 20. Isaiah 59, 20. It says, "And the Redeemer," all caps, or a capital, "shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." So he's going to come to Zion. That's Jesus. Jesus is going to come to Zion again and set up his kingdom. But in the New Testament, if you go to Galatians 3:13, Philip, if you could read that for us, Galatians 3:13, we find out this is also who Jesus is. He's the Redeemer. So Jesus came to redeem us, amen, from the curse of the law. He came to buy us back from sin, from the consequences of sin, the consequences of breaking the law. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. But we just read in Isaiah that Jehovah is the Redeemer. So this is one of the names or offices, if you will, that they share. And if you look at Revelation 5:9, Roy, if you could read that for us.
They sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy side out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation."
Now this is a song unto the Lamb in heaven. This is most likely us, chapters 4 and 5, in heaven. And they're singing a song to the Lamb and says, "Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." So there's no question who redeemed us. It was Jesus Christ with his blood. Amen. Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." The "through his blood" is out of the modern versions, but it is in the King James, praise God. Because we're redeemed through his blood. It takes blood to redeem. And then 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Cash, if you could read that for us. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19.
"For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, in vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, and the Lamb without blemish and without spot."
So the only thing that redeems us is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it says it's more precious than silver and gold. Hallelujah, for the blood of Jesus Christ, which has redeemed us. If you look at Hebrews 9:10, we read about this redemption. Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us, Hebrews 9:12. Jesus Christ entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Hallelujah for eternal redemption. By what? His own blood. His own blood. He obtained eternal redemption for us. So Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. We're told in Titus 2:14, he hath redeemed us from all iniquity. He's purchased us back from the devil, from sin, from the breaking of the law, and bought us with his own blood. Hallelujah. How thankful we should be for our redemption from the Redeemer. So thoughts or questions about this second name of our Savior? Remember, we're looking at them chronologically. Given to Job a long, long time ago, about 5,000 years ago, that the Redeemer will one day, still hasn't been completed, will stand on the earth. He's talking about the kingdom, not his birth, and set up his kingdom. Thoughts or questions? All right, Numbers 24 will be next, and this is embedded in, of all places, the story of Balaam and Balak. Remember how many times Balaam tried to curse Israel for money. Balak, a Gentile king, wanted Balaam to curse Israel. And every time he tried, God overrode. And instead he blessed Israel. And that's where we find ourselves here in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. In the midst of one of the blessings, Balaam actually revealed two different names for Jesus Christ. So, James, if you could read that for us.
I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. He shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheol.
So, one of the names is star out of Jacob. Here in Numbers 24:17, there shall come a star out of Jacob. Now, if we go to Revelation 22:16, right to the very end of the Bible, James, go ahead and read that for us. We find out who this star is.
I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to do these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star.
The bright and morning star. Jesus Christ is this star, but not just any star. It has to be a star out of Jacob. In other words, the star had to be Jewish. Amen? So when Jesus Christ came, of course, he had to be a descendant of Jacob, which he was, through both his earthly mother and his adoptive father. He was a descendant of Jacob. And he is the bright and morning star. And he will, again, it's a prophecy about the future. One more, 2 Peter 1:19, Brandon, if you could read that. The star out of Jacob is the Lord Jesus Christ.
We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts.
The day star arise in your hearts. So that's Jesus. He is the star out of Jacob. So not just any star, but out of Jacob. He had to be Jewish, and he is the bright and morning star. He is the star that Brandon just read about, the day star. And what a beautiful prophecy. But he also, in that verse, mentioned this word scepter. Did you see that? So let's go back there, Numbers 24:17. So we all know what a scepter is, right? It is the thing that the king used to hold just so people could visually see who the king was, the person that held the scepter, but also it also carried a lot of significance. The scepter often would be touched or kissed or be used to condemn people. It was kind of like a visual of the king's power. Like in the story of Esther, when people came to see the king, they traditionally had to come and touch the scepter. So this scepter is representative of royalty or being a king. And way back in the story of Balaam and Balak, it says, a scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. So there's going to come a scepter, someone with kingly power who's going to rearrange the whole earth. Well, we all know who this is, don't we? Isaiah 9:7. Let's turn there and we'll find this out. So, Kelvin, could you read that for us? Isaiah 9:7. Amen. Now that's talking about verse 6. The son is given, the child is given, the son is born. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And it says, of his government there shall be no end. He will set up a kingdom, which we have seen so many prophecies of, especially when we went through Isaiah. The scepter is another name for Jesus, showing his authority as king. And if you go to Hebrews 1:8, God talks about this scepter. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. Any other volunteers over here to read Isaiah, Hebrews 1:8? So Jesus' scepter is a scepter of righteousness, amen? Because Jesus is righteous and holy. And it is a scepter of his kingdom. So it's representative, even though we're talking 4,500 years ago, this prophecy was given. It will be fulfilled once Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom. And he is also referred to as the scepter. Now this scepter, if you might have noticed in Genesis 49:10, let's turn back where we started, was actually mentioned there. Remember, according to Genesis 49:10, this Shiloh, which only occurs one time in this form, is the peace bringer, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We saw that in Genesis 49:10. But also in this same verse, notice it says, verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. So, whoever is one day going to rule the world, Jesus Christ, not only had to be a descendant of Israel or Jacob, but he also had to be a descendant of that particular tribe, the tribe of Judah. And as we'll see later, one of his names is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So this scepter, as it says here, will come from the tribe of Judah. And one day it will be a scepter of righteousness. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. So already, we're just up to numbers, these beautiful prophetic names of Jesus. Shiloh, Redeemer, Star of Jacob, and Scepter. Thoughts or questions up to this point? Deuteronomy 18 then, we'll move there. And then we will be finished finding his names in the law, and then we'll be spending a while in Psalms. So Deuteronomy 18. We're back to you, Mr. Scott, if you could read 15 to 19 for us. Now Israel was looking for this prophet for centuries. This is one of the final prophecies of Moses, by the way. This prophecy about a prophet, capital P there in verse 18, that would one day speak God's words and would be held accountable if they didn't heed those words. So we know, because we can look back, who the prophet is, don't we? But even when we get to the New Testament, we find out that Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. So let's look at some scriptures. Let's go to Luke chapter 4 and see who this prophet is, which is one of his names, also one of his offices. Jesus is the prophet that Israel was waiting for all those years. So Howard, Luke 4:24, if you would. So here Jesus is early in his ministry. This is you know, Samaria, the woman at the well, even as early as then, he's saying, I am a prophet. So he's not claiming yet to be the prophet of Deuteronomy 18, but he is claiming to be a prophet. Amen. Now go to Luke 7:16, Brent, if you would. So a great prophet. Now the people are acknowledging this has to be a prophet, but not yet the prophet of Deuteronomy. So let's go to John 6 now, verse 14, Philip. John 6, 14. Oh, now they're not just saying a prophet, but that prophet. So now they're recognizing... Sadly, most of Israel didn't. But these people are recognizing this is that prophet, the one that we've been waiting for, the one that Moses prophesied of way back in Deuteronomy. This is that prophet that should come into the world. And then while you're in John, look over in chapter 7, verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet, capital P, referring to Jesus. And then if we go to Acts 3, this seals it. Acts chapter 3. So who's preaching in Acts chapter 3? Apostle Peter. Amen. And in the midst of his sermon, he mentions, of course, where are we here? He starts in about verse 20. He shall send Jesus Christ. So he's referring to past prophecies. Verse 22. Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. So who's Peter preaching to? He's preaching to Israel, and he's reminding them that Moses gave a prophecy about a prophet. And of course, was Jesus Christ a prophet? Of course he was. He claimed to be a prophet, and he gave us the word of God, didn't he? And he is the word of God, of course. But if you look at Hebrews 1, Hebrews chapter 1, Roy, if you could read verses 1 and 2. In these last days has spoken unto us by his Son. Jesus came to speak the word of God as well. Of course, he came to be an example. He came to save. He came to die and rise again. But he also came to give us the word of God. He also came to give us some very beautiful, specific prophecies, didn't he? Matthew 24 and 25, classic example. Where would we be if we didn't have those chapters to tell us what's in the future? God lays it all out in those chapters. Those were given by Jesus Christ. Those are prophecies. So he is the prophet of Deuteronomy 18, prophesied of by Moses way back. So that Shiloh, Redeemer, Star out of Jacob, Scepter, and Prophet. We're not even to Psalms yet. So thoughts or questions? Probably a good stopping point because there's so many in Psalms. Chapter 2, it begins, and yeah, Psalms has so many names of our Savior, as does Isaiah.